Father, we thank Thee. Now, I am Your servant, and I believe with all of my heart, as sure as I believe I'm standing here with my hand on Your Word, that that's what You wanted me to say, and I waited, stumbling around, until You spoke the Word. Now, we thank You, Lord, and we pray that You'll let men and women here tonight be careful, walk careful. For we know it's written in these days of what would come to pass. And true to my mind now, it comes afresh that over in the book of Matthew, Jesus said the two spirits would be so close together it would deceive the very elect, if possible. And Father, we know that those things are now. And we thank Thee, and may we have this warning in our heart to watch everything that we do. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank Thee. Amen. Now, last evening, and Mr. Baxter told me that tonight he was leaving just a little early, I wanted to give a testimony. Do I make it miserable for you to hold you here long enough to give a testimony? If I do, I'm awfully sorry. And I've just got to wait just a little while to kind of get my audience settled, and then it's so much greater when we go to pray for the sick. And I'm just looking for God to do something marvelous tonight. I've asked Him. This afternoon, I asked Him if He would do it. And I asked Him if He would help. And if He would once more. Now, last night was the only night that I had seen that was really coming down like the real meeting. But there was a real, spontaneous flare of faith. The room before me lit up. And I was unconscious for quite a bit till they got me out in the street. It was raining. And my little boy kept talking to me. And I didn't talk back, so he just opened up the window, and the rain blew in on me, and I kind of come to myself. I've seen a time when I walk for, to get me out on the street, walk me for hours. See, it's not when you're up there. It's not when you're down here. It's between them places is what does it. It was kind of hard for me to understand that at first. Maybe I'm taking too much time. He's already come to the platform. All right, I'm going to finish this testimony, if the Lord willing. And I was part of it, and then tomorrow evening, I'll try to get some more of it. I was speaking last evening of being over in Finland. Or I mean, in England, I believe, where the Mrs. Florence Nightingale was healed. Wasn't that where I left off? Is on our European trip. And we went from there, and just as soon as I touched the soil of the other country, it seemed like the angel of the Lord hardly left me day and night. It would constantly, and Mr. Baxter here and all of them know, we'd go downtown, we'd be sitting there. And I'd say, Brother Baxter, on the road up, there's going to be a two women come out, and they'll come from the corner, they'll be dressed this way, and they'll ask a certain thing. Then we'll go a little farther, and there'll be a man come down from out of the stair, he's going to ask a certain thing. There'll be different things that'll happen, and you just ask him. It never fails to be just that way. And then here recently at Cleveland, Ohio. I wonder if there's anybody here who's at the Cleveland meeting. Well, wonderful. Now, you probably heard this. It's a little vindication. Sonny, this is Saturday night. They just have to go to church in the morning. So that's all right. Attend your post of duty in the morning. And look, to all the pastors, if they don't even cooperate with the meeting, you've been coming here, you give them my love and regards. Will you do that? And tell them that from my heart, I love them, and I trust that God will just bless their ministry, and maybe they grow in your church, just grow and prosper, and take good news to your churches in the morning, everywhere. And you strangers here, you've seen the pastors here on the platform and so forth, go into their churches tomorrow for Sunday school, and have a glorious time. It's my blessing to you. Now, this in Cleveland, it was a little remarkable case there. And many times it happens and things take place. I don't say nothing about it and just go ahead and just watch it because I feel like sometimes I say too much to the people anyhow. And then when we were sitting at a luncheon, and maybe some of the ministers are present, and they kept asking me, Brother Brandon, how do you know those things? I said, I see it just like I'm looking at you. So, and there's one man there, he may be sitting here tonight, he was a rich man. He runs a bumper place and where they make bumpers for cars. And he said, Brother Branham said, you with that little bitty tent down there of about 3,000 or 4,000 people, and the first ring or two comes around, the rest of the people drive away. Said, if you'd come up to the auditorium where you could seat the people, hundreds come by every night, and they can't get in. when they get off from work and have their dinner while they're down there, and they can't get in. He said, I tell you, I think it costs around $1,900 for one night in the place. He said, I'll pay for it if you just come to prove it. I said, brother, if you pay for a year, I couldn't go until God tells me to go. And so I said, on this, outside of that itinerary, I'm under obligation to my brother, written contract. I said, until that runs out, I'm under obligation to them. He said, well, you'll have extra 2 or 3 days. I said, come back for one day. I said, if the Lord will provide. And that morning, sitting there at the breakfast, they asked me a different question. I believe a Ukrainian minister asked me, said, how is that scene? I said, well, for instance now, I'll be standing looking. I said, here, how many knows Brother Bowen from down there? Brother Bowen, and he was present. And I don't know who the brother was. I come with, he had a big blue Cadillac. And I got in the car and we drove down. And I said, now, here's what's going to happen that you might know with these ministers staying there. I said, now, on the road going up the street, we're going to be a lady cross the street with 2 little children with little checkered dresses on with their little hair. What did you call it? Sweeped up or whatever, up like that in the back, you know, and tied on top. And some of these funny hairdos, I can't say nothing because I haven't got anything to do. So they fixed it up at the top. I said, it'd be 2 little girls, and they'll be leading those little girls. And so then we're going to get in the car. Instead of going back in a blue car, we're going to get in a red-looking car. And then we're going to be on the street, and we're going to pass 3 young ladies in long costumes. And that comes to pass, then I have the right-of-way and God's permission to return for the service. Well, here, Brother Lindsay and all of us were going along, Brother Bowen, several of the ministers talking. One of the little girls crossed the street about 3 squares away from the place we were having breakfast. I said, see him? And he said, oh, my. And we went down there. And I don't know what, I believe, what happened to the Cadillac, but we had to get the other car. And it was Brother Bowen's car, and it was a red-looking car. And we turned out, and you know, they have a mounted police there. And we were supposed to turn left coming out of the lot. Instead of going left, Brother Bowen was raised there in the city, turned right, the wrong way on a one-way street. And a big Irish cop over there on a horse, oh my, he caught him. And I mean, he really told him. We was all sitting there, and he said, well, you're from the city here, so there's no excuse for you. Brother Bowen said, that's right, sir. That's right. And was telling him how sorry he was. He said, we're ministers. He didn't care what we was. He was just tearing him up. And we sat there about 3 minutes, and that cop just go to tear him up. And just then, coming from around the corner, stepped across the street, come the 3 young ladies with a costume. And we had to. He had to hold us that long to bring it to pass. When I passed by, I punched Brother Bowen, and I said, look, brother, and there they are. And everybody said, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And that cop said, you crazy people, get away from here. Well, they thought we were crazy, but I believe St. Paul told Agrippa, said, in the way that's called heresy, so worship I the God of our fathers. I'm glad to join with him tonight, aren't you? But that cop didn't know what they were. They were again screaming and speaking with tongues and going on. I never heard such a but. Because there come the 3 young ladies with them long after supper or ever, some kind of a costume, you know. Dinner, I believe you call it up here. Excuse me. Down south, I can't get this fixed up. When I come up here, they have dinner about 5 o'clock. We have dinner at 12 o'clock down here. This is supper. And they call that, I think I missed the meal through the day. So anyhow, just whatever, it's all right. And they passed by with those long gowns on, and there they went. I said, now we will return. And that time when we returned, there was as many as 3 times what was in the tent there that night. See, he just approved. But see how God will do, how that cop, how Brother Bowen lived there in the city. How many heard that, but them testified the tent that night? There they are. All right. And would Brother Bowen happen to be here? That he might even be here. Some of them ministers there. If it is, why? I wouldn't know. And anyhow, that's, those things that just happen daily. Now we were in Finland, or England. We flew to Finland right away to start. And at Helsinki, We had a marvelous congregation. The Finnish people are so lovely and sweet. And many times when I think about how poor they are there and how much that we rich the Americans had, we should be ashamed of ourselves. That's right. Those poor people. There's a Finnish woman come on the platform the other night, and I was trying to keep myself under anointing, but when she passed, she said, "Humelan Raha, that's God's peace upon you." And I said, "Keep it to her, I mean, thank you." And so we went in there, and they don't, if you American women had to dress the way they dress, great big thick skirts on, great big boots to wear, and everything they get, they have to trust God for it. They're right there on that borderline. That's the battlefield. And what a pity. And I seen the other day, I was in California, and a woman was sitting in, paid $8 for a plate of something there, and some women, and they were mincing around, just tasted a little bit. They let us sit there and paid $8 for it, and they raked it all off in the garbage can. I thought, a many little Finnish child tonight, little dirty hands wringing in its little eyes, would be happy to have that piece of bread that they raked off in that garbage can. You know, we don't deserve that, American people. I'm an American from generation to generation. There's this, when I was flying over France a few weeks ago, I just looked down, I thought, there's many American dead along there, or many a Branham laying along there that died for the cause. And if it comes my turn, I'm ready to go like they do. That's right. But oh, brother, sister, we need some correction here. That's right. It isn't the robin that pecks on the worm, on the apple that hurts it. It's the worm at the core that kills the apple. It isn't Russia's going to hurt us. It's our own degrading of our morals among us is what's killing us. The termites have eaten the foundation out from under our civilization. And I know there was many gathered there at the Mesa Holly. And seated several thousand people. And I got a picture there where they were standing, I believe, for about 4 to 6 city blocks, many deep, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, waiting, trying to get into the Mesa Holly, when it empty up and then different ones come in. And we was going to Copio from there. And to get this instant here, one of them comes on my mind now that happened. God, usually in the room, He'll show me something's going to happen. I'll tell the people. It may be a week or 2 weeks, maybe a month, maybe 6 months before it comes to pass. Maybe just a few hours. And maybe I'll get a phone call in a few minutes. And there it'll be right there, the very thing He'll show me. And maybe the woman sitting at the phone, I'll say, "Don't you have on a dark dress or something?" "Yes, a certain, yes." And have you live in the house, right along on the side of the walls, a certain thing, just see it right from the phone call, like that. And tell them, "The Lord has healed you." And so I had a vision in Miami, Florida, and many of you people here tonight probably have this wrote in your Bible. And I seen a real hilly country, and a little boy was killed by an accident. And he's about 8 or 10 years old. He had funny cut hair, brown eyes, fat face, and very poorly dressed. And he was run over or something. He was all disfigured up. And I seen the Lord Jesus send His angel and bring the life back to that boy. Well, I was in Miami, Florida, and I told the vision to the people. And I said, "Now the thing to do is to write that out in your Bible." How many remember hearing me say that before it come to pass? Have a witness? "Yes, look all over the building." "That's fine." And I said, "Write it in your Bible, for thus saith the Lord." You'll notice it, and it will appear in the voice of healing. You remember me saying that? It will appear in the voice of healing. A little boy, and I described how he looked. About 3 nights of the service, and they sent me back in the back, said a little boy got drowned out here, and a father has been in your service, and he will not permit the undertaker to move the little boy until you come and see if that was his son. I said, "I'll be happy to go." I went back there. The little fellow's about 5 years old, and he had real black hair, well, I said, "No, that's not the little lad." I said, "This little boy was not drowned. It was an accident." And I offered prayer for consolation for the family and returned back. I went out through the West and over through Canada, and down in every meeting I testified. It was wrote in hundreds and hundreds of Bibles. I said, "Now you take your pencil and write in the Bible this, that I said this, so when it comes to pass, you'll know it." That's the only vision I said I had. It's not come to pass, but it will be. I said, "Where, when, I do not know, but it will be. Thus saith the Spirit of God." For He showed it, and it can't fail. And I said, "It's not impression, it was a vision. I've seen it, and it's going to be just that way." And so I went ahead and testified of that long time, about a year before it come to pass. And we went up to Helsinki. From Helsinki to Kuopio is the land kind of the midnight sun near up there. And I know in the middle of the night, it was nothing like this dark. And then long up this time of year, the sun doesn't go down at all. It just goes low and comes back again. And the people were still poorer up in there than they were down around Helsinki, but just as lovely as they could be. And we went up on a train. Now, if their provincial would be a Finnish person in this building, my dear friend and Christian fella, don't think that I'm degrading your country. If we American people had in our hearts the love of God that you have from your country with the things that we have, it would be the millennium would be on almost here, that's right. But we got plenty. We just don't trust. We just let it go. It's just kind of carefree. You wouldn't walk across the street. Don't you think in Finland they came by the tens of thousands? No cars. They walked. They hitchhiked. The papers carried bundles on their back. Cripples. They wheeled one another in any way they could get in. A fellow rode a little old thing that chugged along like that. I believe 4,000 miles to get to the meeting. God healed him when he was there. God will respect faith everywhere it's at. And some of those things just tear down in the middle of me when I think of it. And I remember we went up on that little old train and they give us the best they had. And I went up on that little old train, first class. And I'm telling you, friends, you American people, is like the iron pony that they had in the early days. They didn't have coal to burn. They put wood in the tender to burn to make their steam. And Brother Baxter said had square wheels. He was so fat in the way it would roll and tossing through the night. And they went, it was poor little people. They were just what they had was yours. They were free-hearted. And when we got off up there and went into the auditorium to have the service, what a crowds of people gathered. And I remember the second day, there had been some wonderful healings take place. And the Holy Spirit, here's the way it would work. Now, see, it all had to be translated. Miss Isaacson was our translator and the best that I ever seen in my life. Brother Baxter, as rapid as he preaches, she'd follow him right there with his sermon and translation was the best I ever knew of. And she would interpret for me. And I'd be standing there and the Spirit would come up on me. I'd say, here sits the person here. Now, if you notice, always in talking to people, I never look at them too long because when the anointing's on, it brings the person right to you, you see. And I always keep looking from side to side. I look at a person and catch like that and would tell them just where they were at and what they'd done and all about their life and what was wrong with them. And I'd be speaking in English and she'd be interpreting that person raising and screaming right like that. Just exactly. Oh, he's wonderful. And I remember that one night coming in, I went up on the hill at Kuopio, and we was coming down as the fast day. I fast much because meeting's going on until I get real weak, and then I have to eat a little. But because this kind comes out only by fast and prayer, and I don't know what time that kind's going to be on the platform. So then I was up there, and they were singing on Golgotha. It's a Russian song. And two or three Russians was over there. And those people, let me drop this. Those Russians would follow me, and when I come by, they'd just stop, and the tears would just run down their cheeks like that when I'd pass by them. They'd stand attention like that, and I'd go behind. They'd look and just cry. Look, brother, it isn't the fourth term. It isn't the big four is the answer. Christ is the answer. I was an American. They was Russians, but the love of Christ is in our hearts, and we love one another. There was the embassies there with guards and the iron curtain and so forth. And then Finns and Russians right at one another's throat. But the Christians had their arms around one another heart to heart. Why can't people see that? The God of this world has blinded their eyes. This is the kingdom of the devil. Isn't that a big mouthful? But that's the truth. Every kingdom of the world is controlled by the devil. When Jesus takes over, the king... Real revelations. Look, when Jesus was taken in the Spirit, I know you didn't get that, so I better explain it. When Jesus was taken up on the high mountain by Satan, he let him look down through the stream of time and showed him all the world and the kingdoms thereof and said, they're mine. Is that right? And I'll give them to you if you'll fall down and worship me. Is that right? Jesus knew he'd inherit them anyhow. He said, get thee hence, Satan. And then over in Revelation said, rejoice, you heavens and you holy prophets, for the kingdom of this world has become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And as long as they're controlled by Satan, they got that satanic thoughts and powers, they'll fight until Jesus comes, and there'll be a stone hewed out of the mountain someday without hands that'll break these world kingdoms into pieces, and there'll come a kingdom out of there. Hallelujah. I'm glad tonight I'm a candidate of that kingdom. Yes, sir. And then there'll be no more war. There'll be no more war after that. And now those who are in that fellowship of that kingdom, there's no war between them. A chaplain told me when he was in a consecration camp in Japan, said he was out there one day and he knew he belonged, he's a holiness brother. And he said he knew probably he would die in that camp. He was getting so hungry and they wouldn't feed him and old mold bread and stuff. And said he walked out there, money him out there, and he raised up his hands and said, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And knelt down and said, oh God, I've served you with all my heart. Now if you want me to go home to glory from this place, starved, said, I'm ready to go. And he raised up and he happened to notice that little Jap walking like this and keep watching and walking like that, the sentry walking by, and said, it looked like he wanted to see him. So he just walked over close. When he passed by, said, you Christian? He said, yes. Said, me Christian too. Now, them brothers would have tore that cage down and put their arms around one another, and war had been over, you see. But the kingdoms of this world are dominated by the kingdoms, by the powers of Satan. See, they're going to fight, but someday, me Christian too will be all of us. Amen. That'll be wonderful. There's the answer to all. And up there, I come down off of the Copio Tower, and when I did, they were singing up there, and an Englishman from England, a buyer, was up there, and he was so drunk, and he heard that song on Golgotha, and all their songs are in minor. And when he came down, while he was weeping, and we went over to him and talked to him, he could speak English, and we led him to Christ there on the hill. And Brother Baxter and them said, come on in now. Or not Brother Baxter. Brother Baxter wasn't along that day. Brother Lindsay. And he said, now come on, let's eat. There's about 30 ministers up there. And I said, no, I can't eat. I don't want to eat until after 6 o'clock. We sat down. I listened to them talk and everything through the interpreter. And I said to Brother Lindsay and Brother Moore coming out, I said, something's fixing to happen. I said, I just feel it. That something's going to happen. And I said, I don't know why. And we got in the cabs, and they don't have many cabs in Finland. Most of them are horse-driven. So we was coming down in a car, and down at the bottom of the hill, there was an accident that happened, and a car, an American-made 35 model Ford sedan, had struck two school children running at the speed of 60 miles an hour. And the two little boys are going across the street. There's not many cars, so they were, and they started this way, and they seen the car coming, and they started to run back, and one run this way and one this way, and the fender, the driver, swung to the right, and when he did, it hit the little boy by the chin over this way, and just turned him over and smashed him up the side of a tree and concussed his little head in. That way, and the other little boy had knocked him straight forward as he gave the twist and run over him and mashed him under the wheels and kicked his little body up in the air when the wheels would set, he'd lost control of it, and just threw down on his accelerator instead of his brake, and it just, the little boy's body just rolled up like that and flew up in the air and went out in the street and fell like that. Or just mashed the little fellow. And we were way up on the hill, way away, and we seen the accident happen, and then people began to run from the school, and it was quite a little bit, about 15 minutes, that we got down to where the little boys were. And they'd done tucked one little boy. I didn't know there was but one of them. But the other one, they'd done got him in another car and got him away, and there's no more cars there. And I drove up, or they drove up, rather, and Brother Moore, when he got out, he started weeping, come running back to the car, said, Brother Branham, and Brother Lindsay, here he come, he had a little boy, too. And my Billy Paul, I hadn't seen him for a long time, and Billy's mother, you know, is dead, and I've been both mother and daddy both to him. And pack him around with his bottle against my bosom here to keep it warm in the cold weather, and crying, walking up and down the streets. You've read my life story. Like I don't know what to do, and the little bitty fellow leaning on my shoulder, and he's always scared when I go away. Of course, he's almost a young man now, but I thought of him. What if that would be him? And what if a telegram had come across the sea and say Billy Paul was crushed in a car wreck and he's laying dead, wanting you to come home? And oh, how I begin to think how that poor mother, they'd gone after her, and there the little fellow laid there with a coat over his face. They said, come look at him. I couldn't look at that child. I just sat there and I was just shaking like that, and Brother Lindsay just holding his breath like that and crying. He's got a little boy too. And so finally I took a look at the little boy, just go to pick him up, and we had to take him to a place. Now if I hadn't been so excited, I'd have caught it right away. And as soon as I stepped out of the car, Miss Eisen said, isn't that terrible? So then people said, there's that miracle worker from America. Let's see what he'll do on this case. And I said, well, it's just people who didn't understand. And the chief man of the city, I guess kind of like a mayor of the city, he was there. And so I went over there, and they looked, and oh my, poor little fellow in there, his mouth open like that, his little eyes open, his little hands like this. They wear those little, I guess they used to call them little panty waists for boys, you know, and he had that big heavy rib stocking, and his little shoes was knocked off of his feet, and one of his little feet that was twisted up like this was run plumb through his little foot, run through his stocking at the bottom. Oh, he was just horrible in there, his eyes open like that, and I said, poor little fella. And that just made it worse. Now, let's go to put him to the car. And as I started to turn around, I looked in front of the little boy. I felt something go. I said, maybe that's just my sympathy for the little fellow. I started to make another step. Something. I waited just a moment. I turned around. I said, let me see that boy again. And they pulled back the coat they had laying over him. I said, I've seen that boy somewhere. I said, ask those ministers if he's been in the church, a member of their church. No. I said, has he ever been in the prayer line? Brother Lindsay said, no. I said, I've seen him somewhere. And I don't know where, but it still looks like. I looked around, I seen them big rocks piled up laying there. I said, praise God, I know where I saw him. I said, Brother Moore, get your Bible. Brother Lindsay? So what's the matter, Brother Branham? I said, look at the folder of the leaf in your Bible. I said, that's the little boy that's going to be raising the dead. And Brother Moore run over to the car and got his Bible. He said, brown hair, brown eyes, about 8 years old, poorly dressed, crippled, been mashed by accident. A rocky land. Said, Brother Branham, that's it. I said, that's him. Oh, my. You don't know how that feels. You know where you're at, then. All devils out of hell. If he'd lie and everything, he wasn't hell up around it. Never stop it. It's there. It's got to happen. Now, the only thing is just drama. I said, now, I remember I knelt to this side in the vision when I prayed. You have to do just as you've seen it. I knelt down. They all gathered around. I said, now, watch. Thus saith the Spirit of God, this boy's life will return to him. And there he'd been dead. They'd taken his pulse and everything. He's gone. So, all mashed up like that. And I knelt down. I said, Heavenly Father, many thousands of miles across the sea, that lovely nation where I come from, America. I said, down there that night when you moved into that room in that lovely place and told me that this would be, and I testified of it, and stood and said that you would bring it to pass, and now thy servant sees the day that is to be fulfilled. I said, I thank thee, Heavenly Father, for the power of vision, and I thank thee for all your goodness, and thou eternal God, author of life and giver of all good gifts, I ask you to bless this scene with your presence. And when the angel of the Lord began to move down, I said, O holder of this boy's spirit, death, according to a vision that God has already showed, that you cannot hold this child. Therefore, I call for his little soul to return to him in the name of Jesus Christ. And no more than I said that, the boy jumped to his feet just as normal and well as he could be, just as perfect and normal and whole as he could be. That's wrote throughout Finland, everywhere. It's scattered abroad, I tell you. That was in the evening time. The other boy, I'll get it tomorrow night. One more little thing. I see I've got about 6 minutes. I'll try to get it quickly. Oh, when I went into the service that night, the other little boy was laying dying. I didn't know it. The mother just screaming and crying, trying to get to go down there to that little boy. Every word they talked, it went over. I don't know how it ever got, because you can't broadcast news like that or anything in Finland. It's just all strictly otherwise. And then the first thing, you know, I went into the started to go to church that night. And the fame of our Lord had spread so that he was in the midst of the people, until way down three city blocks below where the auditorium was, the streets were just packed like that. You couldn't get near it. And they had the militia out, the Finnish soldiers, and some of them little teeny boys that looked like had never even shaved in their life. And the poor little fellas, and they formed a little group to take me down through the line. And I was going down, and they were pushing people along to let me get in. So when I got to the place and started to go in where the services was, I'll never forget this. Poor Finnish people stand there. They would just start crying. Soldiers stand attention. And now just a moment, and I'm going to call the prayer line now. I was going into the auditorium. And the ladies' dormitory or restroom, such as it was, they'd close the doors, the officers behind me, just two in front and two in the back. I was going walking in, and the doors closed, and I looked, and a door opened over here at the restroom, and a little Finnish girl stepped out. And I'll never forget that look of that little thing. Now, I just love little children. They used to give me some of that Finnish money. And after they'd all get in the auditorium, I'd go down the street and find them little Finn children, you know, and I'd give them this money to buy candy with. And I'd have a string of kids two city blocks long farming.
And they had their little skirts, the little Finn girls. Now, do you, the American girl, an open skirt. And she had a brace on the inside of her. And in the toe, I'll get it here, in the toe of her shoe, like right here, she had a snap. And the snap come up on this right foot, is her right limb, and went up here, went across her shoulder, and hooked back here in the back to the back of the brace, and the brace around like this and down like here. And she had two crutches, and the way she'd walk, she'd set the two crutches out.
And then she'd swing her shoulder, and that would pull that toe out, and set that stiff brace down where her limb was free in the brace, and she could make her steps down on crutches, and that's the way she walked. And when the little thing come out there just about so high, you all, many of you know and seen her picture, it's in my book there, I believe. And when it come out, and she looked at me, and a little ragged cut hair, and her little skirt hanging down, just tags hanging from it, ragged. And when she looked, she opened the door and set her crutches out and looked out. And she seen me, she jumped. She bowed her little head down. Tears dropped off of her cheeks. I knew that child wanted to come to me. But she'd been warned they had not come, you know. And I stopped, and them soldiers started pushing on. I shook my head, no. I couldn't help it. I motioned for her. I know she wanted to come over there. And I just motioned for her. And here she comes, setting her little crutches out and giving her little leg a swing. And when she got up, I just stood still and didn't see what she was going to do. I love children, so she got up real close to me. And she looked at me. She set her little crutches so she could hold on them. And she looked down. She didn't raise her head. And she took a hold of my coat, pulled it up and kissed my pocket, and dropped it back down like that. And she looked up to me in them little baby blue eyes with tears running off her cheek. She backed off like it, pulled her little dress out and said, Jesus. And I found out she's a little war orphan. Her father and mother were killed in the Russian war. And looking at her, I said, "Oh, sweetheart, God bless your little heart." I said, "You're healed." But she couldn't understand what I was saying. I know God would respect faith like that. I said, "You're healed, honey." And then the soldier kept pushing me on. And I went on in. And that night, the people, when the things that happened, they just throw away their crutches and wheel back their chairs and things. You've seen the pictures in the Voice of Healing. It's armloads of crutches and clubs. And I said, "Let's call just a few more." My brother said, "Billy, you remember, you're a long time overseas. You got to get out of here." But I wasn't completely gone yet. So I said, "Just a few more." And by God's great providence, I heard a noise, and she was the next one to be on the platform. I looked there, and I tell you, I never had such a feeling. And here she come, and she was still crying. And I said, "Sister Isaacson, come near." I said, "Quote my words. Repeat my words." I said, "God bless you, honey. You're the little girl that was out in the hall a while ago when I come in." I said, "Jesus Christ has already healed you, sweetheart. When you go over there and have you sit down and have someone take those braces off, and you put your hands on your little hip, and when they move the shoe and brace off of you, let your hand slip just about the same distance that your leg is sharp. And then let me see you." I said, "Call the next case." And some of the Finnish brethren got over there to take off. And the other lady was standing there. And the diagnosis of the discernment of the lady was coming forth, you know, giving the discernment. And all at once I heard her scream. And here she comes. Crutches and braces over her head, running just as hard as she could go, just as normal and well as anybody. Up and down them steps she went, around and around. Marvelously healed. What is it, friends? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be humble. Let yourself be the lowest of all. Don't ever exalt yourself. If you do, you're going to become a base. Humble yourself and God will lift you up. Don't figure that God owes you anything. Remember, you owe Him all. And we are not under obligation. God's not under obligation to us. We are under obligation to God. Love Him with all your heart. Believe on Him, and God will bless you, I'm sure, while we bow our heads. Father, oh, when I think of that scene that I've just reviewed again, thinking of that poor little thing come dragging out of that room. In her respect, her love, you said, "In so much as you've done it to the least of these, my little one, you've done it to me." And she had respect, Lord, of what had been told her, that you were with us and was healing the people. And she loved you, Lord, and the only way she could express her love was to try to love your servant. And oh, God, grant this to me, will you? If I am privileged to cross the border on that day when you call in the righteous, and if I found favor with you that day that I can touch your feet, crawl off somewhere, Lord, grant that I can stand by that little girl. I may never see her again in life's journey. And that little boy, you know all about it, Lord. I can just see the vision now when you showed me that little fellow, seeing his little bare legs laying there and how he was all broke up. I remember the vision, remember quoting it before tens of thousands of people. And how standing there that day when the Holy Spirit came down. I'm a very illiterate person, Lord. I would have never known that. I'd have passed on by it if it hadn't been for your sovereign grace to speak to me then and reveal it. There it is. After you showed it to me, I were too dumb, Lord, too ignorant to know of it. So sense-bound. God, have mercy upon us poor mortals. Have mercy on me, Lord. And I pray tonight that something will happen tonight here in some manner. Now, you said in your word, Jesus, of what things we desired, when we pray to believe, we receive them. And dear God, I was one night missing in this meeting, not because I wanted to, but Lord, you know, some reason. Maybe if I had come on, something would have happened. You had to hold me back to save me from an accident or something. I don't know. You're leading, Lord. But I pray that you help these people. And tonight I'm asking you, and I believe that you're going to hear my prayer and you're going to answer. Will you give us a great outpouring of your blessing? Just shake everyone, Lord. And may something be said or done somewhere that would cause the people to just throw away their prayer cards and receive you as their healer. And the people here on these cots and stretchers and chairs and many of those who are in dying conditions, may from this hour on they be made well by accepting Jesus Christ. Stretch forth His holy hands to heal tonight, Lord. Send your angel from heaven that He might anoint your servant with that spirit of the prophetic being that would show things which was and things to come. That I might declare you before the people, saying that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Lord who knew where Nathanael was and how that he prayed under the tree, and at how that the woman at the well had the husband, the fish that had the coin in his mouth, where some mules were standing, where two ways met. Oh, you know all things, Father. Pray that that same Spirit will be here tonight and be in our midst and will help us and bless us. Increase the faith of all of us. Encourage your ministers, God, that when they return from this meeting, that they'll have divine healing services in every one of their churches. And may we all get a fresh baptizing of the Spirit. For we ask it in the name of Jesus, thy Son. Amen. Finland that night, when that little girl got healed, where's my Finnish brother sitting here somewhere? I want you just a moment. Listen to this story. You heard it last night, did you? My brother's with us. The other little boy that was hit under the chin is in the hospital dying. About the second day, I believe it was, had passed. And they didn't know what to do about the little fellow. I had the awfulest time. I couldn't even get into the hotel. That little woman and husband laid on the steps, and they had to drag me over the top of them. And I remember that night when the little Finnish girl was healed, I went up to the room. Miss Isaacson said to me, she said, Brother Branham, what can be done? Said, them people are about to wear me to death. And I said, well, I don't know, Sister Isaacson. It's against the rules for me to go out like that. And she said, well, will you just meet him in the morning out here if the little boy's still living? I said, all right. So she brought him up there. Where is Sister Isaacson now? Is she in the States here? She is. Very lovely person. So she made an appointment in the afternoon for me to see the mother and father. Very nice, typical little Finnish family. They sit out there, and they see me coming. They started running and fall down like that. I said, now get your chair through the interpreter. So they sit down there, and I said, oh, go down to the hospital and heal our little boy. I said, I couldn't heal your little boy. Said, well, you heal the other little boy that was dead. And said, our little boy's not dead, but he's dying. He's never come to. His brain's crushed. And I said, well, concussion, remember what it was, and his spine in there. All. And I said, a blood vessel had bursted on his spine or something. And I said, well, now, I didn't do that. I said, over in America, about a year ago, I saw a vision of this little boy being healed. The interpreter told her, she said, go see vision for my little boy. Well, that was awful nice, but, you know, you just can't see visions when you want to. There's no more, and I'd say, dream me a dream. You dream dreams, but you don't do them yourself. So, he said, I said, oh, I can't do that, sister. And I told him, I said, are you all Christians? No. I said, look, God may be aiming to take your little boy home. And I said, if you're not a Christian, if that little boy dies, you can never be with him no more. If you die, when you die, Then a little boy go to heaven. He's too little to know about sin. But he'd go to heaven, and you won't go to heaven, and you'll never see him no more. I said, then if you become a Christian, and when if the little boy dies, goes up to heaven, then you can go up to heaven where there's no more accidents, and you'll be with him forever. And I said, then if you want a favor from me, you try to do something for me. I said, if you want a favor from God, try to do something for him. I said, now, perhaps when you would give your life to him, you might find favor, and he might save your little boy. Well, they talked it over. They couldn't lose, because they'd go to heaven. If the little boy died, they'd be with him forever. And if they found favor, maybe God would heal the little boy. So they knelt down, and I led them to Christ. They got up and hugged one another, and it was all right. Now the lady said, go and see vision for my little boy. I said, no. She wanted me to go to the hospital. I said, no, God can speak to me in this room just as soon as he can down at the hospital. Sister Isaacson told him. Well, she said, you go in and we'll wait. I said, look, he might not even say one word to me. I don't know. I said, but if he does, I'll tell you. If the boy's going to die and he tells me, I'll tell you. I said, I'll tell you if he's going to die. And if he tells me, if he doesn't, I can't say nothing. Well, finally, Miss Isaacson got them to go back home. Well, they went back home in about 20 minutes. They called. Said, has him seen vision yet? No. So, he can put his fingers in his ears if he wants to. They're very sweet, kind people, the things are. And I'm not saying that because the man's sitting there, because I don't think he understands English too well anyhow. And he said, they're very lovely, kind, sweet, humble people. So they don't have very much of this world's goods, but they love the Lord, and that's where the richest lays. And so they're rich in the kingdom of God. So then, went a little while longer, they called back again and want to know if the vision had come yet. Well, they called several times that afternoon. That night, when we come home, the little girl had been healed. I had this same Bible right here. And now, if there's any Finnish people here, that I don't mean to hurt your feeling about this, and I don't aim to hurt Brother Baxter's feelings either when I'm saying this. But we in America are well off when it comes to eating and things like that. I was up in Canada not long ago, and we was up around Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. We had around 10,000 of Indians and Eskimos and all coming down into the meeting. And over there, their candy is not as rich as ours is here. Some of it, I really got a hold of some over there that just almost tastes like starch because the people can't afford it like they do here. And that's true. I think Canada's a lovely, wonderful country, way larger than ours, and the resources is far beyond ours. And fine people, but they're just poor people. Their roads are bad, and they haven't got the money to build the roads. But this place of people in America is rich. Richest people in the world. And then their candy was bad. And my brother Howard, he said, many of you I guess know Howard. Coming home that night, he said, Billy? I said, yes. He said, you talk about Canada having some bad candy. So taste this out of Finland. But he gave me two little pieces of candy about like that. And I held them in my hand. We was going on up steps. Brother Baxter and Howard slept together. They went to their room. Brother Moore and Brother Lindsay, they went to their room. And Sister Isaacson went to her room. And they keep me in a private room on account of the visiting of the angel of the Lord through the nighttime. He'll sometimes come to me at night and tell me every person, everything will be healed the next day. I'll quote it to the managers. I say, you watch, there'll be so many, a person over here and a person down there, a person over here will be healed. There'll be a woman come in dressed a certain way, laying on a cot, she's coming from a district, she'll be healed. And just tell them all about the meeting before it happens. Well, then he comes in like that. So then I just walked into the room and I took those two pieces of candy and laid them on the desk like that. I laid my Bible down. No, I beg your pardon. I put my Bible on my heart. I walked over there. And coming down through that park, you know, there in Corpio, that long park, coming down through there, there was those little Finns coming down through there, going home, just praising God, soldiers and all. And some of them poor little soldiers over there never shaved. They're just kids in the army. Them Russians killed them off over there like flies. And they just had the poor little fellows, and they were going along through there, and they were just talking. I looked out. Oh, it didn't get dark there at night. And so I looked out and I held my hand up. I said, oh, great Jehovah God, how wonderful, how glorious. That little girl had been healed that night off those crutches. And I said, praise be to your holy name.
how I love you, how I adore you, oh great God, creator of heavens and earth, right in the same direction where them Russian planes come over to bomb you, right down through there. I said, someday, Russian planes come one day, but one day Jesus shall come. I said, oh, what a difference it'll be for this country then. Instead of them all running into bomb shelters and things just built around the city here, they'll be running in the streets hollering, Keith is Jesus, just as hard as they can. And then with their hands up in the air praising. I said, oh, how I love you. And I felt something. And I turned and here he stood standing right there by me. And he had a little glass in his hand, just about that high. And in there was two American Easter lilies, Easter flowers, daffodils, whatever you call them. I don't think they even have them in that country. Easter long, looked like a horn on an old gramophone. I don't think they have them up in that country. And there they was. He had them in a little jar. And he set them down before me without saying one word. I just stood there. He's a big man, got dark hair to his shoulders, olive complexion, smooth face, dark eyes, has his hands folded like this always. And he took this here and set this down before me, and one of the flowers was leaning up towards the north, laid down, and the other one started going down, going, and he said, what was that your brother gave you? And I said, it was a piece of candy, sir. Or two pieces of candy. He said, eat them. And I picked up one piece. I put my mouth. I chewed it and tasted pretty good. And when I swallowed it, this Easter flower that was laying towards the north went, stood right up. I looked at it. He said, eat the other one. I picked it up. And oh my. You talk about an awful taste. I said, I took it out of my mouth, and this other flower started going almost to the end. He said, them two flowers represent them two boys. He said, if you fail to eat this piece, this boy shall die. I put it back in my mouth, started chewing real fast, and I swallowed it. And when I swallowed it, this one stood up like that with it. And the way those boys fell, you know. One fell to the north and one to the south. The one to the north is one was killed on the road. The one to the south was dying in the hospital. The doctor said he'd never come to. His brain was concussion or something on his spine. Said he can't come there. He had washed the little boy's face. And they called and called and called all that day. And he said, this one stood up like that. And when he stood up, he looked at me, put his arms together. I looked over him and here was that light that you see back there in the picture. Going like that. The light settled down over the angel. The angel went into the light. Went out of the room. I stood there. I felt my hand. I bit my fingers. I was numb for a little bit. The vision left me. It wasn't a vision. I don't mean to say vision. I see visions here, but that's just as real as I am, or you are. I stood and looked at him. And I ran out real quick and I called. I said, everybody, come. Out come Brother Baxter, Howard, Brother Moore, Lindsay, all of them run out. I said, go get Sister Isaacson. They got her. Come down there. I said, thus saith the Lord. Call that lady and tell her, thus saith the Lord. Her baby shall live and not die. Said Brother Branham, she had called about an hour ago and said that the baby was in the last stage. The doctor said it'd be dead in the next 2 hours. I said, I can't help what he said. Thus saith the Lord. The baby shall live. So she run to the telephone, and their phones are not like ours here, and she cranked it on her side, and she got the family, and there's a babysitter there with their little bitty baby, and said they just called them to the hospital. The baby was dying, the little boy. And so they rang the hospital and got the woman to the phone, and Mrs. Isaacson said, Brother Brand said, thus saith the Lord, that the little boy will live. She said, how well I know it. He just come to himself, sitting up down here just as well as he can be. Sitting there, normal and well, and the baby lives in Kuopio, Finland today, a normal, well child, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of revelation, by the power of His Spirit. This brother happened to be along. He's a Finnish brother. He was with us. I met him today. He knows of the case. Come here, brother. What is your name now? Watkin. You have to say that, brother. I'm not so good at saying them. All right. I'll ask you this. Those testimonies are true, are they?
Yes, they are really true. I was there just as an eyewitness. I come from Finland, and our assistant pastor of the church, Salem, Helsinki, and I was also there in Kuopio. We were on the hilltop, whole party, and we came down, and that accident happened there. And the other boy was raised up from dead, and the other is healed, and they are healed today. And also that little girl whom Brother Branham told yesterday, last night, she is still real healed. And praise God. And very many other marvelous things were done there, and that very great service what Brother Branham and his party was doing in Finland, it is still growing and bringing fruit for God's work. Praise the Lord.
Amen. God bless you, brother.
Amen.
So glad to get to see you again. God bless you.
God bless you.
You Melon, Raha, God bless you. Let's say praise the Lord, everybody. All the way from Finland. Little did I know when I was quoting that story that the man would be sitting here present, and this afternoon I met him coming in. Oh, what a time. Glorious time. Is there another Finn in here? The other night someone hollered Hugh Melon Raha at me passing over the platform that was healed. I guess they're not here. It was some lady, best I remember. Oh, there's the lady over there. Yes, that's right. Was you in Finland when I was there, lady? You were born in Finland. Was you the lady across the platform here tonight? And was he who gets the platform? Praise the Lord. God bless you. Do you know the brother here? You should get to know each other. All right, you see who she is, brother. All right, that's fine. Let's say praise the Lord. This is the way heaven will be. There'll be German, Finn, Italian, and even the Irish will be there. Amen. I said, I know there's one there. They call him Michael. All right. God is here tonight. Do you believe it? He's in His mercy, and He's here to heal the sick and afflicted. All right. It's time for us to call the prayer line now. And may God be with you. Brother Bobby, if you'll play tonight for me, my favorite song, Abide With Me.